Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in, watching on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM, channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our affiliates across the country. Busy hour coming up, 15 minutes, a little bit on today's Major League Baseball card. How about this team being winless in this market, 12 consecutive games now? Pathetic. Paul Stone, bottom of the hour. We're going to start our college football conference previews with him at that time. The AAC will kick it off for us in 30 minutes. By the way, it is a final. Spain over Austria, 3-0. They have yet to concede, Pauly.
It's five matches in a row in the World Cup. Ties the record.
And
impressive.
So they will get the winner of the match coming up at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. That's Croatia and Portugal. And you were saying during the break, then the winner of that match will get the winner of USA and Belgium. And a potential, like, just to get ahead of myself here for a minute, a potential USA-Spain match. What do you think? Way too early analysis of that match. Does not go well? That's the end of the road?
We're going to have our hands full. I know. That's going to be tough because these guys, this was a misleading score. They totally dominated, and it could have been 6-0. I mentioned that they went through the motions against Uruguay, but that's why Monday's a good indication because Monday's a big step up in competition. And I know Meatman's down on Belgium, and they should have lost. But you're talking about, you know, Paraguay's 37th in the FIFA rankings. Bosnia was 61st. Look where Australia is. And Belgium's top 10. So let's see. But, you know, the killer is with the red card now, no Balogun. But let's see how we do Monday and to see if we could hang on Friday if we're able to win.
Yeah, let me
and see where we're. But I have to be encouraged by what Paraguay did to Germany, considering we ran them out as well and how good we are offensively and how many chances we're generating.
Yep. I'll sum this up with the stats in this Spain match against Austria. They had the ball 61% of the time. They outshot Austria 23-5. Those are the total shots. How about the shots on goal? It was 10-0 shots on goal.
Oh.
You think they're good? Nine corner kicks
to
zero, 509. Oh, my God. 597 passes to 285, and the passing accuracy was 87%.
Oh. Yeah.
They had some incredible runs that never resulted in a goal. I think to your point, that could have been 5-6-7, nothing. Who knows?
Who do they play? This is a great match.
I'm going to go Portugal.
Okay. Yep. Number 6 against number 11 in the rankings. I was watching the Meat Man earlier today, and he's on coming up. Weather could be a factor, going to be hot, but they think Croatia's maybe too old, and they're concerned that, because even though they're from there, they call it straight, they're concerned that Croatia gave up 4 to England and what Portugal can do.
Yeah, well, I mean, how is that age today?
Yep, and this John Jackson on X has got a great breakdown about how Croatia, when they step up in class, their finishing falls off a cliff, and how even Portugal can be dangerous here. I like the way that they decided to play it, though. Portugal to advance with under 3.5 is about $1.10.
Okay.
With that, because I don't think it was, but you're seeing breakdowns and analysis that they could see goals tonight. I'm not there. I think Portugal can win 2-0, something like that. I'm not big on Croatia. You could also argue Panama was right there and deserved a better fate against them as well. But it would definitely cause for concern that England got 4 on you.
Yeah, I will say this. I have read too much on the match in terms of like analysis because I've seen it every which way but loose. And I kind of confuse myself with like making bets as a result. Because it's coming from every single direction. And I hate when that happens. So that's probably on me. But how about both teams to score no in this match? And then you flip it tonight. Because I think we're actually going to see some action in between the Swiss and Algeria. The way that Algeria plays with that attacking style. And that either would be over 2.5 goals. Or that could be a both teams to score on the yes tonight. In that match.
Okay. Portugal $5. BTTS. $1.10 in the Switzerland match.
Okay.
Can we get an early one? Go in the first 10 plus 4.45 in both matches. I'm with you. I could see a high-scoring match as well, but I like the Swiss to advance and beat Algeria. But the bracket now, how this looks, and these are some sexy matchups. Oh, man, come on.
Oh, it's,
how
it's,
good Saturday is, and then the Sunday games with Norway, Brazil, and England and Mexico. How about that comment really gets me.
Well, are we going to have...
I mean, I know everyone loves Mexico, but the price is outrageous. For them to be at home, and when and Tuchel comes out and says, there's no way we can adapt and get acclimated to the elevation, and that's going to be a big problem, and how Mexico hasn't conceded, and that's... and again, when I saw Nigel's and Meatman's reaction to the opening number, to me, that said it all.
Mexico has lost twice in the 56-year history of that stadium. Is that, I saw that today earlier.
I'll buy
on
it.
X.
Yeah, I'll buy it.
And the way that, and I love what Jeff Borzello said, but he was awesome today.
Yeah.
If you missed it, you can go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast. He was on at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. And his thought was on how good Mexico has looked. They scored two against Ecuador in 30 minutes, and they had not allowed more than one goal in a match since 2024. And that was like to begin that match in the first half. That was pure domination by Mexico.
Yeah.
And if they get one, you saw what the crowd pops are like in Mexico when they get one early. It's deafening. They probably that whole thing is like at a decibel level that's like a jet engine, or the whole stadium is probably rocking.
Then you're looking at, oh, there it is, 25 million people watched the match last
night. Oh, man.
Most watched soccer telecast in U.S. English language history.
Well, get set. Get set for Monday night against Belgium, because that's another great point that I've seen. You're telling me that we're getting Monday night football with the U.S. men's national team at that stadium in Seattle, where nothing but craziness has ensued over the last 15 years? Something crazy has always happened in primetime games at that stadium, talking about American football. Come on, we're going to get something nuts in that match. And that place is going to be insane. And then so can we, I think we can probably bet on this at prediction markets. How many viewers will we get for that one on Monday night? I'll say 30 million right now.
Yeah.
And if they win that one, they'll get probably Spain next Friday. And you're telling me that's at what time?
Plan ahead, everyone. Yeah, call out that day. Friday, 3 Eastern.
3 Eastern. Just, yeah, take the day off right now.
Where's that game? Can you help me? Got to look at that. Well, where would that be?
They have played all their games on the West Coast so far, including the game on Monday night. Does that change? Did they put another one in Los Angeles? How about my idea earlier, if we get USA and Mexico to play for
it's
the
in Englewood.
Thing?
Be in Englewood.
It's in Englewood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect for us.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal. Okay.
And possibly look ahead, too. We could have Brazil, Mexico, Brazil, England. I mean, nothing wrong with Norway, Mexico with that as well, and how the great heavyweights we're going to get these matchups coming up.
Oh, the upper end of that bracket is outstanding.
Yes. Can I argue that the Lakers are better than the Celtics, even though everyone hates what the Lakers did in the offseason?
Again, I'm intrigued by what the Lakers did. I don't think they're going to – they can't match like the Spurs or the Thunder.
Right, but that's what's frustrating, right?
Yeah, I want to watch them play, though. Again, like what you said yesterday, they still got Luka. You can't forget about that. And by the way, Luka pulled some rabbits out of you know where when he was with Dallas, and he did not have a ton of talent on that team. So maybe – I don't. Is Kessler the right big guy for Luka? That remains to be seen. But I like Kessler if he can stay healthy. I just hated how much they gave up for the guy. I'm willing to give him a shot. I am. I will say this. I don't think David Stern would want this for either team, though. He always wanted Lakers-Celtics. He wanted Lakers-Lakers, but he would take Lakers-Celtics, and he'd be like, guys, what are you doing here?
How about what Dustin said after the show? That, like, the Knicks have improved, even though they haven't done much.
I don't disagree.
Because it's what other people are losing and what happened with – now, Toronto improved. Miami improved, but Miami didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
And the Knicks are better there as well. I mean, they did lose Robinson, but
– the Knicks have to be loving life right now.
Yeah. But that's also how hard this is, though, in the NBA. We got how you put your team together, and they got lucky with Brunson, but also Brunson took a $1 million pay cut to make this work.
I can tell you, in terms of like betting games individually next year for the Knicks, they just won the title. I think there's a chance they're going to have that title hangover, and they could kind of like coast through the regular season and be completely okay with getting like the 3 or 4 seed.
Well, you got to criticize Boston, no doubt about it. But the other one here is what are the Nuggets doing?
They're wasting his prime.
How does he not demand out? Demand a trade and say, get me out of here.
Would you be stunned?
This is outrageous.
Would you be stunned in a couple of years if he's not on the Nuggets anymore? I would not be.
That is also frustrating. So all the talk about a contract dump and pay dump by the Boston people, look how much Kroenke is worth and what he owns. And they don't want to spend and put a great team around this guy.
You don't even want to look it up. You're going to vomit.
You will.
You throw up in your mouth.
So this is all these moves and everyone improving. And okay, we got Joker, and then we'll try to piece it together.
Isn't it eerie how Denver is going down the same exact path that Milwaukee did?
Yeah.
You can sit here and all day long, both organizations screwed up two of the best players of all time in their prime. They won. They have two titles combined to show for it. Two finals appearances.
They screwed it up, but at least they tried. They kept changing coaches. It was a bad move, though. But you brought in Lillard. You moved some other guys around.
I would say, they made the wrong moves in trying.
Yes, right.
Yeah. And the Doc Rivers thing is just inexcusable.
I reached out to him. So I go, what's going on here? What are they? They're clueless, was the reaction.
Denver. Yeah, they are.
They're clueless.
Yeah.
And they have no plan. So that was, you don't think Boston would have accepted Johnson and Murray for Jaylen Brown? I mean, I don't know what's going on.
How would they not at this point?
Yes.
That's clearly a better package than what they got.
That's like all the league. Like, this is all the Lakers had to give up for Luka? Like,
yeah.
We should have called the Celtics. I mean, I guess they only reached out to eight teams.
Okay, we'll continue down this road. Anthony Irwin does cover the Lakers in Los Angeles. We'll get his thoughts on the current makeup of the team. And could they add some other players in the offseason? We'll ask him on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Some more NBA offseason here. It has been hot and heavy. Last couple of days, we go out to the Progressive guest line. Anthony Irwin joins the program, Lakers insider, host of Lakers Lounge. Follow him on X at Anthony Irwin LA. Anthony, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Just, you know, covering yet another Lakers offseason.
There you go. It happens almost every single year the way it seems. So I'll ask you today, and we can get into whether or not this is the finished product or not, but as of right now, do you think they're better than they were last year or maybe even the year before?
They have four starters. I don't think they're better right now than they were last season. I think they're further right now from a championship than they were last year. I think they are significantly worse defensively, probably quite a bit better offensively, I think, collectively here. But I am really concerned about their defense. And they're working to open up more spending power so that they can acquire a Rui Hachimura or possibly a Jonathan Kuminga. But they are way down in the athleticism department. And they have the wrong LeBron James on their roster.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, you're left with Bronny right now.
Uh-huh.
And I think they would be significantly better off and better positioned to win a championship if they hadn't annoyed LeBron James Sr. to the point where he was just like, all right, fine. I'm going to go find whatever offer I can get out there.
Yeah.
To be in a situation where I'm actually happy to play basketball for a living. And I think it was a pretty big mistake from the Lakers to take him for granted, not just this offseason, but in the few years running up to this offseason.
Yes. So would you agree with the comments and a lot of the reaction that it's almost depressing knowing that you're not on the Spurs or Thunder level and you're stuck? There's no moves you can make now in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, basically what the gamble that the Lakers are making is that, you know, they've gotten so much younger, and they are hoping that through continuity and organic growth from these players, that they can get better systematically up to the point where maybe eventually they'll get to the Thunder or the Spurs level. The problem there, though, is that, like, if it doesn't work out, to your point, there is no way to pivot. You got to hope that you could trade Austin Reeves for picks, and then you got to hope that you could turn those picks into the players that you need to compete at the level that you were at even last year. So, and by the way, this year is the year that Luka Doncic and his camp would, if they are frustrated, if they are disappointed by this offseason, this is the time when they would start moving chess pieces across the board to figure out where Luka's going to play next. Cool. So this season has to work out in their favor. Oh, and if it doesn't, then what?
Would you have given that contract to Reeves? Was that the right thing to do?
Yeah, because it was between that and losing him for nothing. And I still think, you know, it's a 3-year contract with a 4th-year player option. It's for only 25% of the cap. It'd be one thing if it was his next contract and it jumps to 35% of the cap for 5 years. I could see where that would be the kind of contract that nobody would want to trade for. But if it doesn't work out this year, I was looking at the roster, and it's such a glaring hole on the wing that it makes me think that, you know, if it doesn't work out this year, if it doesn't work out this postseason, that they would probably use Austin and some of the young guys that they have on a draft day in the near future, you know, so that they could trade the draft pick that they would use that day to go out and get the wing help that this roster just so desperately needs.
Well, I'm glad you brought that back up. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Anthony Irwin is our guest. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. And the thought of Kuminga coming to the team or Hachimura coming back, are those realistic possibilities here for the Lakers?
I think so. One of them, I think, will wind up being on the Lakers when it's all said and done. Maybe both if the market completely dries up and they just say, all right, fine, I'll take it a 1-year minimum deal to completely bet on myself and put myself in a better situation after this. So right now what they're looking to do is trade, whether it's Jared Vanderbilt or Dalton Knecht or DeAndre Ayton or Bronny James, some of those guys at the end of their rotation whose money they don't anticipate using this year. Most likely they would like to move Jared Vanderbilt. And if they can't trade Vando, then they would look to, they would stretch and, waive and stretch him, which means you stretch out the amount of time that he sits on your books in dead money, but it lowers your cap hit this year. So you do that with him. Maybe you do that with DeAndre Ayton, and they're trying to open up anything in that ballpark of 10 to 13, maybe, like, if they really, really do everything absolutely perfectly, $14 million. And then they would go to one of Jonathan Kuminga or Rui Hachimura, and they would offer maybe a multi-year deal so that that player has bird rights at the end of the contract. And the Lakers would be able to then retain that player after that contract runs up. But that's what they're trying to do now. To what extent they'll be successful, that, you know, we'll just have to wait and find out.
What grade would you give Pelinka during the LeBron tenure and how bad they were before he got there? And I'm seeing a lot of, he played for the Lakers, but he wasn't a Laker, and they hold Kobe in such high regard. It kind of feels like what we're seeing with Boston, to have him that long and only win one title. And I thought he was going to retire a Laker. Well, why do you think, what grade would you give how this all turned out?
Man, I think we have to separate LeBron from Pelinka here. So if you're just asking me specifically about Rob Pelinka's grade with LeBron James, I would say like a C-. Like, it's barely passing, but you're not very proud of it.
Okay.
With like LeBron, I would say I would give him a B+ to an A, because he held up his end of the bargain. There's those stats that are kind of making the rounds right now that in the 8 years that he was there with the Lakers, he had its own, that 8-year run is its own Hall of Fame career. When you combine the points that he scored, the assists that he dished out, the rebounds that he grabbed, and the all-star appearances and the all-NBA stuff and the championship and the finals MVP, players who rack up all of that stuff tend to be Hall of Famers. So the Lakers got more from LeBron than frankly anybody thought they were going to. They just don't have enough to show for it.
That's well said. Great answer there. I'm looking right now at a Lakers win total for next season, Anthony. FanDuel has 45.5. Can you see them winning 46 games or more?
So this is the funny thing. I haven't loved their offseason. I don't think they're going to be very good in the postseason. But let's just pencil Rui Hachimura onto the roster, which I think we're fairly safe to do, whether it's him or Jonathan Kuminga, somebody at that level, a four at that level. I think I would imagine the wins total jumps at that point, but I'm very confident betting the over on wins for the Lakers this year because the offense is going to be overwhelming, and it's going to be so overwhelming to the point where on any random, you know, night, a Tuesday night in Milwaukee, the Bucks, those teams like that aren't going to be able to cover for all of the shooting, all of the offensive creativity, all of the downhill drivers that you have when they're attacking closeouts. The Lakers are going to be able to score against anybody. Where I have real questions and where I'm really concerned about this roster moving forward is when you're in a seven-game series and all seven of those games or all of those games in that series are played against an elite defense that is geared to you specifically and an elite offense that is geared specifically to taking advantage of your weaknesses defensively. So regular season, I think the Lakers are going to be fine. I think they're going to win their division. I think they're going to, you know, get home court advantage fairly comfortably in even in the West. But when they get to the postseason, that's where I'm really nervous about the defense.
I think that's a totally fair answer. And I just have shades of Luka's early days in Dallas.
Yeah.
Right. When they overachieved and they were a lot of fun to watch and they made it difficult for a lot of teams in the regular season. I can see that happening again with this Lakers bunch. Follow him on X at Anthony Irwin LA. Great job, Anthony. Thanks for the time as always. We appreciate that.
Thank you guys for having me. Anytime.
Well done.
Join us on the Progressive Guest Line. Lakers Lounge host as well.
Yep. A lot of Laker fans didn't embrace him, but he certainly saved them, no doubt. They were awful before he got there.
Oh, yeah.
And at least he got him a championship, but maybe could have been more.
The late Kobe years into LeBron getting there?
Oh, no. But you can't hit on a draft pick. That's the other thing.
Well, actually, they did. They did, and they got better after they left.
There you go.
Yeah. Couldn't develop anybody.
Ingram.
Julius Randle.
Yes.
Even Lonzo Connect. Ball from, you know, before
he got hurt. I
thought
Connect would be good. $30 million in guaranteed prizes cash in this football season with three Circa Sports Contest, Circa Million, $1,000, 18 weeks, Circa Survivor, pick a winner each week, Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers, enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, $30 million guaranteed, CircaSports.com for details, get the schedule while you're up there as well, CircaSports.com.
College football from a betting perspective, next, professional bettor Paul Stone on the program, going to start our conference previews with him, the AAC with a bunch of best bets from Paul, next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Talk a little college football here, some best bets, some futures, week zero action. Longtime friend of the show, professional bettor Paul Stone hops on the program today via the Progressive Guest Line. Make sure you follow him on X at Paul Stone Sports. Hey, pal, good to talk to you and see you again. How are you?
Doing well, you know, man. It's an exciting time of the year. We're going to get to have the July 4th this week, holiday this weekend. Big 12 Media Days start next Tuesday in Frisco, Texas. And then, early August, camp starts and game starting late August, so it'll be here before you know it. Just a great time of the year. A lot of good sports going on.
Let's begin today in the AAC. Overall, like, how good is the conference as a top, and do you think a team can make the playoff?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend here actually two teams to make the playoff from the American Conference, but I'm going to say I know that two teams aren't going to make it, but I'm just going to give us more opportunity, and it'll also provide some hedging opportunities perhaps when we get closer to that time of the year. But I'm going to recommend Army at plus 800 to make the playoff and Navy plus 800 to make the playoff. And I'll say this, first of all, to set up how the American, it's been rebranded the American Conference as well. So it's just a two-word conference now. But in the American, you've got a situation where their conference championship game is going to be played Saturday, December 5th. They're going to announce the playoff teams on Sunday, December 6th. And then Army-Navy are not going to play until Saturday, December 12th in a non-conference game that obviously will be played after the playoff has been announced. So that's a very unique component here. But you've got a conference in the American Conference where four of the top teams here the last several years, those being Memphis, South Florida, Tulane, and North Texas, those teams all lost their head coaches. Therefore, they lost a ton of players. Their best players, their quarterbacks, those teams have really been stripped down. So what I think it means to these, not only the American Conference, but all group of six conferences, they're going to have difficulty keeping their best and brightest players. They're not going to be able to match resources with these Power Four schools that come in and court them and offer more money. So what I think it means for these Power Four, group of six conferences, rather, is they become wide open. The field becomes more compact. It becomes more condensed. And I think maybe not long shots, but it opens the door for more mid shots. Our challenge is picking those mid shots. So I'm going to go with Army and Navy both to make the playoff at plus 800, thinking that at least one of them, or perhaps both, will be in that championship game on Saturday, December 5th. And by taking them to make the playoff, since I believe the American Conference champion is going to make the playoff, by making them to make the taking them to make the playoff rather than to simply win the conference championship, we're going to get a much more favorable payoff there. So I recommend here, again, splitting a unit on both Army and Navy. Both got a lot of people back. Army's got their quarterback, Cal Hellams, back. He rushed for over 1,200 yards last year, a workhorse of a quarterback. Carried the ball 36 times in one game, 38 times in another game. They've got an offensive line that returns four starters. They won the Joe Moore Award 2 years ago for having the top offensive line in the nation. I think they'll be a contender for that award again this year. Got three of their top five defensive linemen back as well, does Army. And then looking at Navy, this is a Navy team that has a huge game on October 31st against Notre Dame at Gillette Stadium there in Foxborough. Their only other games that will be lined less than 7 points, though, with them as the favorite, will be at Air Force on October 3rd. Currently have Navy favored by 5.5 points in that one. And then on October 17th, when they go to UTSA, I've got them favored by one. But Navy, they lose most of their offensive skill positions, but they do have a lot of offensive linemen back. They have eight of their 15 defenders who played 200 snaps or more back last year. Quarterback's going to be Braxton Woodson. He started three games over the course of the past three seasons. A little bit unpolished as a passer at this point in his career, but, man, he is 6'3", 215, big and physical and fast, 414 yards rushing last year, almost 9.5 yards per carry last year. So Woodson can run. Again, Army and Navy plus 800 to make the playoff.
All right, how about a win total? And North Texas was great last year, won a lot of high-scoring games with their excellent quarterback, Mestemaker. Now, they lose everybody. And so you're looking at the win total under. Take it away with how you want to play North Texas, please.
Yeah, North Texas, a historic season last year, Paulie, 12-2, ended the regular season in a three-way tie for the regular season title in the American, lost the championship game to Tulane. But they have lost, as you said, virtually everybody, and that includes their head coach, Eric Morris. He goes to Stillwater to take the head coaching job at Oklahoma State, takes most of his best players with remaining eligibility, including the quarterback, Drew Mestemaker, Caleb Hawkins, the running back, going to Stillwater as well, wide receiver Wyatt Young. The list just goes on and on. They rank, and let me back up a little bit. It's very difficult for us as handicappers to determine what a returning starter is. We all define it differently. So I think this metric that CBS Sports put out a couple of months ago, returning snaps, the percentage of snaps that you return, is really a great barometer of what type of experience you have back. So looking at North Texas in that category, they rank 137th out of 137 FBS teams, only return 8% of their snaps. So I just don't see them batting 500 this year. They start out by going to national champion Indiana there in Bloomington. They'll be getting more than 40 points in that game. They host UNLV in week two. Then they travel to Texas State in week three. In both the UNLV and the Texas State game, I project North Texas to be about a 7-point underdog. So I see North Texas starting the season 0-3. So that means they have to win six of their final nine games to even get to 500, and to get to 500 at 6-6. I don't really see that. They will be solid favorites in four games, those being Houston Christian, Charlotte, Rice, and UAB. But they're going to be projected as a touchdown or more underdog in at least six games. Just don't have a lot of people back. You know, it's just today's college football. I think Neil Brown, ultimately, he's going to get things perhaps turned around there in Denton. But I think this year there's going to be more lean than green in Denton. I like North Texas. I would split one unit under 600, under 6.5 rather, heavily juiced at DraftKings at minus 200. Half a unit on that, and then half a unit under 5.5 regular season wins, plus 120 there at DraftKings. If you want to get a little more aggressive and take a higher percentage on the under 5.5 at plus money, or perhaps even take it all on under 5.5 at plus money, I don't think this is going to be a team that's going to finish 6-6. I think they're 5-7 or worse. I just don't look for much from North Texas this year.
Very good. One more bet that you have in pocket as of right now. Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Professional bettor Paul Stone, our guest on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's go week zero, UNLV against Memphis. What do you like here?
You know, this is a week zero game, as you mentioned, Saturday, August 29th at Allegiant Stadium, a potential group of six playoff implications. You know, both teams lose a lot. But UNLV, they do return their coach, second-year head coach Dan Mullen. Memphis, they have a first-year head coach. He's a guy who's coached a lot of FBS games. But Charles Huff, he'll be coaching his first game for the Memphis Tigers there on August 29th in Las Vegas. So you have a coaching change at the University of Memphis. Therefore, you have a lot of new players, a lot of new faces. UNLV, they've got a quarterback who's a veteran, a guy in Jackson Arnold who has started a total of 18 games at the Power Four level, started 10 games at Oklahoma to start his career, 8 games at Auburn last year. This is a guy who's had mixed results. He was a big-time five-star recruit. His passing has been somewhat suspect, but he can run the football. He does have experience. And then you look at Memphis's starting quarterback. Regardless of who it is, he's going to be starting his first game at the FBS level. I think it's probably going to be Division II West Florida transfer Marcus Stokes. Could be Aaron Noland, who started his career at Ohio State, transferred to South Carolina. He's played very little college football. But in any event, that's going to be a first-time starter, at quarterback for the University of Memphis. Then you've got UNLV, their running back. They've got Jaden Thomas. He's a guy who rushed for 985 yards last year, averaged almost over 7 yards a carry, rather. Poised for a 1,000-yard season this year. Memphis, they returned just 10% of their snaps from last year. UNLV, 34%. UNLV's won 21 games over the last 2 years. I like UNLV minus 3.5 over Memphis, August 29th.
Great analysis, as always. Awesome to talk to you again to begin the previews here with college football, Paul. Thank you so much for the time, and best of luck this week. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks a bunch. Have a great weekend. Have a great fourth.
Follow him on X, by the way, professional bettor Paul Stone. He's at Paul Stone Sports on the Progressive Guest Line.
Oh, the Mountain West. What has happened? Oh, man. All those schools leaving for the Pac-12. And this league used to be so good.
I would agree.
We had TCU and Utah.
Undefeated teams playing up next. I'll tell you about a three-team trade that would have been awesome in the NBA, but one team said, yeah, we're not going to take Jaylen Brown here. That's coming up on Follow the Money. Coming up in 15 minutes, Mike Palm on the program, his take on the two matches that we have coming up tonight. Also, We will get into something that is on, depends on how and where, you know, it's graded, either 9-2 or 8-3 since the knockout stage began. Let me run this by you, Paulie. Via Brett Siegel, who covers the NBA. The Celtics, Pistons, and Rockets talked about a three-team deal that would have sent Şengün to the Celtics, Durant to the Pistons, and Jaylen Brown to Houston. There were talks about a KD trade involving Jaylen Brown and Şengün.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Houston did not want that type of package.
No.
And they were the team getting Jaylen Brown.
No. After how they went out?
Yeah. So even like they're punting on the guy. And all they were going to get younger, a similar player, not like scoring-wise in terms of KD, but you're going to give up Durant and get Jaylen Brown? They were like, well, actually, they would have gotten rid of Şengün as well.
Uh-huh.
So they were clearly going to get something else in return.
Uh-huh.
But that's like, not going to happen.
This is fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
Why'd you only reach out to like 8 teams? Why'd you do it now? Why the rush? We're not even on the 4th of July.
That's the part that I don't understand.
Was there a mandate? Was there something from ownership? What? Is there something going to come out about they couldn't stand the guy and that something? Now, I know his behavior was weird at the end. You cannot blow a 3-1 series lead as a 2-seed and go out in the first round and say it's the most enjoyable season I've ever had. Yeah, but you're looking, it's like, what? This is the return? It reminds me of the Luka deal. It's an outrageous trade. It's horrible. And you didn't do your best to shop him, but this was the best offer, according to everyone who covers the league. And even though fans and media think he's so great, here these GMs are saying, and I know the Bobby Marks thing got crazy, but that's when you look at it, and net rating and all, and 36-6 the last 3 years when he doesn't play. They're 90-36 in his career without him. A 36-year-old, probably the second worst contract in the league, which you had to attach a first-round pick to get off that bad deal anyways. That's the return for this guy, who was sixth in the MVP voting.
Yeah, we played a soundbite earlier from Brian Windhorst and how they evidently view Derek White as more important or the player that had the better season.
The Celtics are big in analytics.
Yeah, the numbers tell you. And I said, okay, sometimes you got to throw away the numbers and just watch the games. Clearly, Jaylen Brown is a better player than Derek White, and I like Derek White.
Is Bobby Marks' source a member of the Celtics?
It's the way it sounds, right?
Yes.
The way it seems at this point. Yeah. So this is from JT on X at VSiN Live at Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. Lifelong Celtic fan. You are 100% correct. White is no way better than Brown. And Brown is better than Tatum, in my opinion. I'm not going to disagree.
There's plenty of people that are arguing that, yes. Plenty of people chiming in with that.
This is from Gordon. Paul George over under 42.5 games on the court this upcoming season. The under would be like rubbing the Celtics' nose in it.
Yep. Do you think they asked for Embiid?
Maybe.
Maybe they did.
Could have. Maybe they asked for Edgecombe.
Uh-huh.
And the Sixers were like, I don't think so. Okay, we'll settle for Paul George.
Oh, my God, this was butchered and managed so poorly. You were this close to Giannis. This close.
Oh, but no Hugo Gonzalez.
Or step up with the extension, according to one source.
Yeah.
Just come up a little bit on what
they,
you...
They didn't want to go to a third year?
Come on!
I can't get over the fact that this is, again, 10 years they had everything. They were set up. And they just... It's miserable.
They might be a play-in team.
Absolutely. I can see that.
Because the East continues to get stronger and people that are jumping around and LeBron might go to Cleveland.
Yep.
But Boston fans are comparing it to the Mookie Betts deal about how bad they feel.
Well, okay, that's strong.
And I know there was one guy in the Boston media who said it was Matt Moore, who said, I've never seen a trade where everyone from a city thinks it's a horrible deal and can't stand it. And that's Matt Moore, who's been on the show many times about everything he's hearing out of Boston with the deal.
Wow. What about the Sixers side? You got to like the makeup of the team. Again, they added Anfernee Simons today as well, who was on Boston. This was Amin Al-Hassan, great NBA mind. He was on VSiN Primetime last night talking about the outlook for Philadelphia next year.
I think like the Sixers for the last couple of seasons have been, whether they admit it or not, have been trying to transition to a world where it's nice having Joel around, it's not necessary. Like, our world does not fall apart if Joel is not around, in essence. And Maxey was obviously the first revelation that allowed him to have that kind of bold step in that direction. And Edgecombe, you know, obviously a top three pick, but, you know, they had to have felt very emboldened by the season he had and the fourth season he had. And so now you add in Jaylen Brown, and you can legitimately say, even if Joel Embiid wasn't on the team, that's a really good team. Maxey, Edgecombe, and Jaylen Brown, that's a pretty good 1-2-3 combo right there in whatever order you want to put them in. But now when Joel Embiid is healthy, and I know that's an if, but the difference is before we would say if Joel Embiid is healthy, and if he wasn't healthy, the season would be disastrous, like the season before they got Edgecombe. But now we can say if Joel Embiid is healthy, this team is incredibly talented, maybe one of the most talented in the East. But if he's not healthy, they're still up there. They're still one of the best teams in the East as well.
Oh, my God. If they get 65 games out of it, that's a big if out of Embiid next year.
Well, they were handed a gift, though. I mean, what a gift. Because you had the two worst contracts in the league on the same team. And I know you came back down 3-1, but then the Knicks steamrolled you. But to be handed this gift now, they don't have a bench. But you have Brown, Maxey, Embiid, Edgecombe.
Simons.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You got a chance now. And it's, you know, there was no reason to extend Embiid. And he can't play half the games. But this was a gift from the gods. You inherit a player who's going to be on a mission and to prove everyone wrong.
Oh, no doubt.
And he's pissed off. Now, I will say analytics won, eye test zero, because you saw no one wanted him. At least they thought $180 million left on that deal with 3 years left and the on-off numbers and what the Celtics thought of him. But they have a talented team. And they were handed a gift, and we'll see if they take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And it makes the East so intriguing and interesting. And the odds, just look at the odds. Look at this now. When do you see this? 8-1, 8-1, 9-1, 9-1. Pacers, who won it 2 years ago, 16-1. Got sure. better on paper, arguably.
I just can't bet the 76ers because I have fallen for this trick too many times.
No, you're right.
Yeah, so
there's plenty of other teams I'd rather have.
And by the way, let me bring a couple others here. What if it works for the Magic this year? Remember, at this time last year, after they traded for Bane, they were plus 550.
Right.
Now the they're depth. 30-1.
The depth, right.
And they had Detroit dead and buried in that series.
Uh-huh.
So now they're 30-1.
Wizards, number one pick, Trae Young, Anthony Davis, not a pushover.
What if DeBance comes in and he averages 23 a game?
Hawks had a 16-1 run late in the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
How many times did the Knicks lose in the playoffs? Three times? Twice to the Hawks? Okay.
Bad job by the Pistons. You were the one seed. You haven't improved the team at all.
Yeah.
And it's...
I'll tell you, I'm still disappointed in Norman Powell going to the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe a better team did not make a deal for him. That guy could have an impact somewhere.
There's also reports that Mazzulla and Brown didn't get along together.
Well, that's another guy, right?
So that's, yes.
Did he get along with anybody? Jaylen Brown?
This is so bad. Yeah, right. This is so bad. What you had in 2017 with Tatum, Brown, Kyrie, Hayward, Horford, Smart.
Picks.
All these picks just wouldn't make the trade. Not one time. Every superstar was available. Ainge holding onto those picks for dear life. Wouldn't do it. And Tatum is the only guy remaining.
Yeah.
And they won one title.
I remember when
I'm in disbelief.
I remember when they had these two guys and then they signed Gordon Hayward. I'm just like, shut it down. This is going to be it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything but. I'm really astonished at this.
So you're kind of going against Brad Stevens, though, too, after the end of the year press conference. We have to change how we play. But by doing this, it's going to be more bombs away.
Yeah, do you trust Tatum to not take 10 threes a game? And they trust Derek White more?
Paul George will shoot a ton of threes.
Sure he will.
And Pritchard's better.
Pritchard will take 10, 12 a game, and they're expecting a Jalen Brunson-type season a jump from him, which is idiotic, but Pritchard's a nice player.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they going to do? Will Derek White and Peyton Pritchard change their games all of a sudden? How? It's not who they are.
Mm-hmm. Sharp Place is fantastic. He's been with us since day one. Respected, watched, and feared. Jeff and the crew do an excellent job. Get there at the Telegram and look for the tweets on a regular basis with Mr. Poison and also the info and the intel, reaching out to over 500 bettors and sources worldwide across all sports. They send that info out to subscribers in real time. When they move, the books take notice. Trusted insider intel, advanced AI. Robinhood plays are fantastic as well. Find the value before the numbers shift. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com. sharpplays.com, all documented and posted publicly. Sharpplays.com.
The Maestro is going to join the program coming up next. Mike Palm, VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and the D. His thoughts on the red card heard round the World Cup, and also two more matches to bet on coming up tonight, one in an hour, one at 11 o'clock Eastern time. Buckle your seatbelts. We'll get his best bets next here on VSiN.